This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
To work with us on your podcast, go to soundrebel.co.uk. Over the Influence is no longer just a podcast. Our online community is buzzing with people like you.
I'm Danielle from Hertfordshire, and I'm nearly 10 months sober now. I was probably what you'd call a grey area drinker. I didn't drink all the time, but when I did, I didn't really have an off switch, and it just left me feeling low energy, low motivation, and just not really an optimal version of myself. I joined the OTI community after listening to the awesome Over the Influence podcast for quite a few months, and I've never looked back. There's Zoom calls every week on different days. You actually get to see Shaz and Ben, which is so exciting, and make that kind of community a reality and really come to life. I would highly, highly recommend joining the Over the Influence community. It was the game changer for me to feel connected in sobriety.
You've heard the podcast. Now join the conversation. Go to overtheinfluence.co.uk.
Welcome to Over the Influence. It's fabulous to have you listening. Have we got a story to share with you today on this episode of the podcast? Really, really looking forward to it. Dead excited. And it all came about because of one very simple email. Hold that thought. A quick reintroduction as to who we are. My name is Sharon Hartley. I live in Lancashire, in lovely Lancashire, in the northwest of England. I turned 50 last year. I am now over 5 years alcohol-free. And it's all a little bit accidental. I've yet to meet one person that set out taking a break from alcohol thinking that they were going to stop drinking. I think, you know, like 9 times out of 10, because I was one of these people, set out on a break thinking, I'll just reset, I'll be able to moderate, it'll be fine, I'll just go back when I've got these few boring days under my belt. Yeah, it's all been a mega surprise and it's all been absolutely wonderful. 5 years alcohol-free and it all started out as a bit of a break. I drank too much, too quickly, too often, and stopping drinking meant that I started living, and it's just the best thing, hands down, ever. Hi, Ben.
Hi. Sorry, I'm raising my eyebrows. I'm not sure. Are we allowed to say? Just used that phrase? Shaz has just used that phrase for a very specific reason that you'll be finding out about soon. Hello, my name is Ben. I am 35. I'm husband to Jem. I'm dad to baby Leah, stepdad to Alfie and Millie. And you know what, Shaz? My drinking was perfectly described last week by Todd, guest on the podcast.
Wasn't it just...
Yeah. Just spot on for me. He said that... Very if you relatable. Haven't heard that episode, he said, I didn't drink every day, but when I did, I didn't have an off switch. He said, I didn't have kind of one big bad moment. I just had a series of small, kind of slightly shitty things that made me feel bad and add them all together and it turns into a big thing. That's exactly me. You know, I didn't drink every day, but when I did go out, you know, I didn't have an off switch. I would cancel things that I was supposed to be doing the next day. I was a lot more selfish, I think. Shaz, I haven't said that one for a while. I feel like I kind of lived my life very much on my own terms. And, you know, drinking definitely was a huge part of that. I really lived for the weekends and I'm just not that guy anymore. Like, and you know, honestly, 3.5 years into this, it doesn't cross my mind. Like, you couldn't pay me to drink now. And I'm not saying that because, I need to say that to be able to keep myself on track. Like, genuinely, my life is so much better without alcohol in it. I don't want to drink ever again. And I don't feel like, I don't want to drink ever again. Like, I'm delighted that I never want to drink ever again.
It becomes a choice, doesn't it? It really is a proud choice. You know, how many times have I said, isn't it a shame you can't drink, Shaz? What a shame Sharon Hartley can't drink. No, you don't get it. No, it's I choose not to. That's the difference.
I mean, great things happen when you remove alcohol. And my God, the guest that we've got on the podcast today, great things happen when you remove alcohol. We're not going to give it away. Shaz, I know you want to do the intro to Fabulous Grace. Can I just, we've been doing this now, what, 4 years?
Nearly 3 years.
No, it's nearly 4 years.
Oh,
2020.
Four.
Yeah.
We started in 2020.
We did. And this is the best email we have ever had, and it came through ever. And I immediately, Shaz forwarded it on, and I immediately called Shaz up. I went, oh my God, we need to get her on the podcast. Right, Shaz, over to you.
We've said too much. We've said too much. So this email came into Over the Influence at 5:20 on the 4th of Jan. So an absolutely fantastic email to read for the start of 2024. It was sent by somebody that we are meeting for the first time. She's called Grace Cowley. She's based in Southampton. And I just want to kick off with this little bit, Grace, from your email. Long story short, it says, I would not be where I am without your podcast. Keep doing what you do. You guys are bloody great and I can't thank you enough. You really did help me to change my life for the better. Grace Cowley, I'd love you to pick up and let's just go with it during this episode.
Absolutely true. I wouldn't. Yeah. And I thought it was worth an email to let you know how brilliant I think you are, because it changed my life. Yeah, completely changed my life. I was drinking, not every day of the week, but just waiting for Friday, really, so I could get smashed all weekend. And yeah, what started out as not a healthy relationship with alcohol, but normal, whatever normal is, I suppose, in my 20s, got more and more and more than anesthetic, more than any fun. And I thought, yeah, I'm not, this is not for me. I can't carry on. It's no life. I felt like I had no life. So I decided I was going to stop and went mental Googling things, and your podcast came up and I just binge listened to it for ever, I think, until I ran out. And yeah, here I am, I suppose. I'm trying to be long story short without being too long about everything.
Let's do the long version. Let's cover it all, Grace.
Let's start then, Grace. So, you know, you weren't an everyday drinker, but you were a binge drinker. Would you class yourself as a binge
Absolutely,
drinker?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Would you mind if I asked how old you are, Grace?
37, nearly 38. Yeah, I'll be 38 in March.
So we are of the same generation.
Yeah.
I think that's the culture that we grew up in, Grace, wasn't it? You know, that was, you look at, everyone says it, the kids nowadays, they're not doing it. You know, they're going for runs with each other and they're, you know, whatever else, posting on Instagram their health and fitness routines. And we weren't in that generation, were we? We were very much in the generation that was how you socialised.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, when I was 15, 16, it was quite normal to sit in the park and drink. I mean, everybody I knew did it. And, you know, and then you start going in the pubs and it was all quite normal. And I was never a big drinker, really. I just, you know, we'd go out at weekends, but not every weekend. And, you know, it wasn't any different to what everybody else around me was doing until I got into my 30s, and that's when I started realising that, you know, what I was doing with alcohol wasn't quite what everybody else was doing, and the way it was making me feel was not good. But, I mean, I questioned it for years before I actually did anything about it, and, yeah, it was not fun anymore when I got into my 30s. It was, you wait for Friday, you know, and I got to the point in the end where, you know, I can remember getting up. I was on my own at the time in the house, living on my own. And I got up and walked down the stairs one morning and the front door was completely wide open. I had no recollection of getting home the night before. And, you know, you get to that point and I think, you know, this is not fun anymore. But I think rather than deal with it, it becomes more of an anesthetic to ignore the fact that I knew that there was something not right about it. And that went on for quite some time as well, I think, before I took the bull by the horns. But it's crazy to think back on it now that that's where I got to. But yeah, so I carried on like that for quite some time. You know, all my friends my age that we all drunk in the same pub for years, they kind of drifted off, had families and moved away. And I kind of turned around and I was still sat there, but doing the same thing, but not really with anybody. And yeah, I just kind of gradually thought enough's enough and woke up one morning and decided to, I was never stopping drinking. Absolutely no. I just thought, you know, I just need to have a couple of weeks off, and then, you know, then I'll know I can do it. And then that's fine. That means I'm normal.
Little reset.
Yeah. You know, if I can do a couple of weeks, just one weekend out of the pub, then, you know, everything will be all right. But yeah, one weekend turned into two. And I heard it's you, I think, that say 100, you need to do 100 days to really, you know, I've got friends doing Jai January now, and I'm one of those, I'm almost feel like an annoying, like an ex-smoker. And my friend, you know, and she said, oh, I'm doing Jai January. I said, you've got to do 100 days, like the difference. And it's so true. I can't recommend that enough, you know, because the first month I was replacing it with chocolate and food and lying around feeling sorry for myself. But once you get past that and get over that, then I think the 100 days thing is, that's when it really starts to change everything. I think it's just, it's, yeah. I find it indescribable now still, but yeah.
Great.
That's where I was.
Can we go back to 2019, which is weird to think that's now 5 years ago.
Yeah.
That should be like, oh, a couple of years back, 2019. Lots happened since 2019.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of the world, but in terms of you, we'll come to that, Grace. But in 2019, what changed for you? So you were kind of mid-30s at this point.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Mid-30s with my partner. Decided we'd like to try and start a family. So, yeah. So that's what we did. And you just, I mean, you don't expect much. You just kind of think that when you want to do it, it's going to happen, don't you? And nothing happened for, you know, I think it was probably 2 years before and nothing was happening. And I went to in the end spoke to a doctor and was told that it was unlikely that I was going to ever have a baby. So, yeah, those 2 years were tough. And I suppose I think my alcohol use probably got worse then, which, you know, it's kind of a coping mechanism in hindsight. It helps you cope with everything worse, but at the time you think it's helping, don't you? So yeah,
what was that time like? And it's a really personal question.
And
for you and
anything,
your partner,
by the way, here, Grace, at any point tell us to
not at all
out. Like, seriously,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, please only share what you're happy sharing with Grace.
It was I mean, you just kind of think, oh, it will happen, it will, you know. I'm a bit, you know, I was in my 30s, and some people think, even, you know, that was 5 years ago, but even then, you know, my age, and just think, well, you carry on. And but when I actually spoke to a doctor, yeah, it was crushing. It was, I thought, right, okay, you know, how do you deal with that? I mean, I dealt with it by drinking more, I think. And I think that's probably really when the turning point from it being, you know, a bit of fun or whatever you want to call drinking to it being an anaesthetic for me, really.
And it's quite a slippery slope, isn't it?
Yeah.
Once you start to recognise the change in your drinking habits, yet you're not prepared to actually say there's something wrong. Mm. You just go with it, don't you?
Yeah. So I think for probably a year after that, you know, situation with the doctor, that's my drinking continued then for the year to get worse and worse. And, you know, my behaviour was, I didn't recognise myself, I don't think, but I didn't really care. I don't, you know, for a while. And then something, you know, I kind of got to grips with that, the fact that children were never going to happen, and probably about a year later decided I needed to do something and face the alcohol thing and try and do something about that. So that's what I did. Started with a weekend off, turned into, well, however long it's been now, I don't keep track anymore, but yeah.
Before we look ahead and talk about that moment when you decided enough was enough, I'm just looking back at your email here, Grace. You've talked about the fact that, yeah, you tried the moderating and you took breaks, but you always returned to being the binge drinking 30 pints a weekend girl that never remembered her weekends. I can see you wincing at this, and you're not there now. You're not there now. You spent most weekdays hating yourself due to the weekend's drunken behavior and wishing the time away, just so you could repeat the whole cycle and get drunk again.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Forget it all. And you say here, I finally decided in 2022 that enough was enough.
Mm.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. I mean, you don't really, I tried not to count what I drink because I think, well, you don't want to know really, do you? But, you know, it started occurring to me, you know, credit card statements started occurring to me that there was some kind of massive problem. And, you know, God, I'd be in the pub from 2 in the afternoon and I'd still be the one being thrown out. And, you know, you've got to leave with shutting at the end. And I was, you know, God, the amount I was drinking is, I don't know how I put it away, really.
Yeah.
But I mentally felt worse and worse. And, you know, you're surrounded by these friends in the pub, aren't you, that are like, no, you know, and even confide in them about how awful it makes you feel. And they're like, no, you know, we're all like that. We all feel like that. It's fine. You know, get to the bar, get another drink. And you kind of do for a while. But I think I got so low eventually that it frightened me. You know, I couldn't. It's an anesthetic for the bad, but it also completely numbs anything good about anything as well for me. You know, I couldn't enjoy, you know, got rid of the bad stuff temporarily, as we all know, because it comes back tenfold the next day. But there was nothing enjoyable about anything either, because all I was doing was waiting to have another drink.
It's miserable, isn't it?
It's so miserable.
When you look back, you know, and I apologise for making you wince. I didn't mean to.
But even
hearing it, and when you're confronted with it, what it was like, you're just like, oh God, yeah, what a waste of time.
That's it. And that miserable. Is the thing. Yeah, the waste of time. But then if I hadn't been there, then I wouldn't be here. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm grateful for all of it, really. But, yeah, I mean, my mental state was awful, you know. And Mondays were just, God, they were hideous. You know, I was sitting at my desk and I didn't want to be anywhere. That's how I felt at the time, you know, to be quite blunt about it. I don't want to think about anything. I don't want to deal with anything and I don't want to be anywhere. And that was quite a frightening place to be. And I think that's when I thought, I've got to try and help myself out of this hole somehow. So, yeah, that's what I did.
On top of all of that, you know, you said about you're trying for 2 years to start a family. Mm-hmm. You used the word crushing when you were told that you had a low chance of conception. Did you always want to be a mom?
Yeah. Yeah. I think there was a point, you know, after I got told there was a low chance, that I convinced myself I didn't really want to be a mum because it was easier to try and, you know, but yeah, always, definitely, yeah.
Shaz, can we do it now? Because you gave up alcohol on the 10th of July, 2022, Grace.
Mm.
And then exactly 1 year later, on the 10th of July, 2023, tell us about that day.
Yeah, 10th of July 2023, I found out I was pregnant. I can't. You know, I'm so close to having a baby, and it's still, when I say it out loud, it doesn't feel real.
Oh, Grace.
Yeah, unbelievable. And, you know, the date didn't even occur to me straight away. And suddenly I thought, oh, I can't believe it. So unexpected. I can't tell you. I had to move house, so I thought, I'm just stressed, you know, this is just stress, it's not, but you know, let's just rule it out. And it was just, it's the most unbelievable, yeah, still unbelievable now.
What went through your mind on the 10th of July 2023, which coincided with 365 days of not drinking?
Well, I'd lie if I said I didn't panic initially.
I've got a 15-month-old, and I know exactly that same feeling. You know, it's a mix of emotions, isn't it? Delight, of course,
yeah.
Unbelievably delighted. But then you kind of go, oh my God, we've got to repaint that room. We haven't got any.
I know.
We've got any stuff. Oh my God, I'm skint. What am I going to do?
Yeah. Well, obviously, the first thing I did is go back to the shop and buy several more tests because I thought, don't be so
obviously
stupid.
The wrong. Obviously.
Yeah.
Oh, Grace. Oh.
Like, I started with the cheap one. So then I went and bought the really expensive ones.
Oh, you went for clear blue then, didn't you? The digital. Yeah.
And they all told me the same thing. And I thought, oh my God, I can't believe it.
your face, even just talking now, and I think actually it's really important we say that. We're so glad that you're chatting to us today on the podcast, because you're 33 weeks pregnant now. You know, you've not got much longer to go.
Oh, no.
Your face, it's beaming, as is Ben's, as is mine. And when you got in touch with that email, I was just like, oh, Ben, I can't cope. I'm so emotional and I'm crying and I can't believe it. And we've never met. You're not a community member. But you just decided enough was enough and you thought, I'm just going to start searching for alcohol-free podcasts. Yeah. And you started listening and here you are. And now you're sharing your story and it's inspirational and it's life-changing and it's everything you ever wished for, Grace, without wanting to put words in your mouth.
You've got to say point, Grace, you know, you were told that the fact that you fell pregnant, it's likely due to a much healthier and alcohol-free lifestyle. That's the reason that you finally managed to fall pregnant is what you said in your email.
Yeah. Because that's what obviously the next thing I did was make a doctor's appointment. But they think that, yeah, that's probably my lifestyle is so different, you know, completely. I'm fit, I'm healthy, I don't drink alcohol, I used to smoke when I drank. And yeah, they think that's probably highly likely the reason I wasn't getting pregnant before and the reason I am now. Having a baby.
Oh, are we allowed? Are you allowed to share what you're having?
I'm having a little girl.
Yeah. It's just wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. And how has the pregnancy been, Grace? How have you been over the last 33 weeks? Because it can be quite rotten.
I haven't felt, I had a bit of morning sickness to start with, but I haven't felt too bad. And I think that getting rid of alcohol has given me the ability to deal with things that happen in my life. Things that I never thought I was capable of dealing with life. I just didn't when I was a drinker. I thought I can't just cope with things. And you know what? I can. And it isn't until you stop. And it's really, I found that one of the hardest things with stopping drinking is that it forces you to face up to things that you don't really want to face up to sometimes. And if you can have a drink and it will go away temporarily. But, you know, it's difficult, but I just feel so much more able to face things head on now. And sometimes I don't know how I'm going to deal with something, but I know that I will and that I can. And I think that's all to do with being alcohol free, because if I was still drinking, that is not how I was at all. And yeah, it's been all right.
Obviously, you said that, you know, they can't pinpoint it and say this is because you did this, because you made this choice, this happened. And you know what, I've got friends who are really struggling. They're in that place at the moment, Grace, where they are really, it's dreadful, a dreadful situation to be in when you really want to start a family and you can't, you know, and no matter what you try, it seems like it's not, you know, stop drinking, then this happened, but it can't have hurt, can it? You know, it can't have hurt.
Absolutely.
Because it's not just in, like, I don't know about you, but you know, for me, when I removed alcohol, that was like the first healthy choice that I made. Because then you go, oh, well, I've done this thing now. And you know what? I want to feel even better. I'm going to start eating better. I'm going to start moving a bit more.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not going to sit on the sofa. I'm going to go for a walk instead. I'm going to go around the lake. And rather than lie on the sofa and eat pizza, I'm going to go around the lake and, you know, have a black coffee and maybe a croissant.
Yeah.
You know.
It just opens a whole world of, it has for me, opened a whole world of possibilities and the things I've done and the, who knew I was a quiet person that wants to sit in with a book and not talk to anybody sometimes? Oh, like, I didn't,
Grace.
But I really am.
Yeah. You know? It's mad, isn't it? When alcohol is such a huge part of who you think you are, that's how your character is defined. I don't know what you were like going out and about, but by the sounds of it, we were probably quite similar at weekends, you know, packing it away, life and soul of the party. And I used to say, biggest extrovert going.
I
think that's the case. I don't think it's. I think maybe I'm an extroverted introvert. I don't know. I don't know. But I'm certainly not the person that I thought I was. And it's so wonderful to hear you say that. I'm just referring back to your email. I mean, Ben, we'll keep doing
because
this
because
it was just
world's best
it's
email.
The best.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the world's best email. You said, with the help of your podcast, I managed to sustain alcohol-free life, becoming much happier and healthier in the process. Mm. And super excited to welcome my baby girl due on the 15th of March, 2024. It doesn't get any better, but the words you've used there, you know, you're excited, you're healthier and you're happier. Those reasons alone are enough to start looking at a relationship with alcohol, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I didn't, you just, it's, yeah, you don't, I didn't realise how miserable I was, really. But then when you're pissed, you don't realise because you don't think about it, I suppose. But, and you're surrounded by these, you know, friends that will do nothing but encourage you to carry on drinking, you know. And yeah, and 18 months later, I'm surrounded by a small group of absolutely brilliant friends, you know, and those other people are, you don't think you're ever going to lose them because they think you're friends. And then, you know, I just can't believe how different life is so quickly, you know. Not even, you know, baby aside, before, even before that, my life changed, has changed so much.
We're just going to take a couple of minutes break from this fantastic chat with Grace Cowley from Southampton. I say Grace was just a listener. I don't really like the word just. It almost takes away, you know, what it means to us. I just want to make the point, really, that you never know who the podcast is reaching. Grace isn't a community member yet, and chances are she's not going to have time anyway because of everything we're talking about in this episode. Grace found the podcast and started listening and basically shared with us some amazing news. But also what was at the heart of that email was that she found OTI, she started listening, and instantly she just felt like she wasn't doing this on her own. She felt connected. She felt part of something, part of a community. She felt like she was listening to her friends week in, week out. And it is just the best story ever, Ben.
Yeah, it's amazing. You know what? There's a latest review on Apple Podcasts says something quite similar. The title of this is "This podcast is like a warm hug." It's from Han Mary. Guess how many five stars. Unbeknownst to them, Shaz and Ben have really supported me through my sober journey. Listening to them is an absolute highlight of my Monday morning. And it's genuinely like a warm hug for your ears from two mates. Five stars all the way.
Oh,
isn't
that
a lovely review?
That's
what you mean when you say, because when we talk about, when me and you talk about over the influence of the community and everything else, there's people's faces that we can see because they've joined the community. And that's, I think, if you're listening to this and you've never been on a Zoom call, you've never been to an event.
We don't know who you are.
It's nuts for us that actually we have an impact on people like Grace. I mean, it's
brilliant.
It's the reason we do this. It's amazing.
Of course it is.
Drop some more reviews while I'm here.
Only good ones. I don't want any mediocre or bad. You know, I struggle.
We don't do negative feedback.
No, we don't.
This is from Mum of Girls 123. Guess how many stars she's given us, Sharon, on Apple Podcasts?
I mean, hoping minimum four. I'm going to go five.
It's a five-star.
Yes.
The title is Game Changer. OTI podcasts are a game changer in alcohol-free life. Keeps the negative thoughts from creeping in. Reminds me each time I listen about all the things I've gained since kicking booze. And also made me realise I'm definitely not alone. Thank you, Ben and Shaz. Definitely a five-star.
Yes, big up your bad self. Who's that from?
That is from Mom of Girls 123.
Amazing. Thank you, Mom of Girls.
Mom of Girls 123. Should we do one more?
Yes, please. Again, minimum four, possibly a five-star, please. No negativity.
It's a five-star from Chigo 85. Hello, Chigo.
Whoa, all right, Chigo. All right.
Chigo. Oi, oi. Very simple title for this one, Essential.
Great choice. I like that word.
Listening to this amazing podcast and recently joining the community. Hello, Chigo.
Hey.
Is one of the best decisions I've ever made. Along with my wife, we are loving the AF life, and weekly listening to the podcast and the interesting stories really helped cement the reasons why we are AF and why we love it. Thanks, OTI. Thank you.
No, thank you.
Chigo.
Thank you. Is that five? It's a five-starer.
It's a five-starer.
Thank you.
Oh, God, should we do one more while we're here?
Come on, squeeze it in.
Go on.
Go on, then.
It's a five-starer from Jimmy2023. He said, I stumbled across OTI in January 23 to help me get through dry January. That led me to binge listening and then aiming for 12 months off the booze. After about 6 months, I realised that sobriety was for me. The weekly podcasts are a great reminder about why. Thank you to both. From James. Thank you, James.
That is just ace. Thank you. Thank you.
If you would like to leave us a review, like genuinely, we really, really, really appreciate it. If you're a listener on Apple Podcasts, then just go to, just scroll down a bit into the leave a review section. If you want to just give us five stars, just five.
Thanks.
We like that. But if you can leave a written review as well, it basically, long story short, it's about the algorithms. Shaz will start berating me now for talking about boring things.
The algorithms. I'm in the back end of the meh, meh.
If more people leave a written review, then the, you know, computers at Apple go, oh, this must be good because people are interacting with this. Let's push it up. Let's make it more discoverable so that more people can find it. So it really helps us out if you leave a written review on Apple Podcasts. So please do that. We'd love five stars, but, you know, be honest. We like all feedback, Shaz.
No, we don't actually.
Because as James Clear said, the trick to viewing feedback as a gift is to be more worried about having blind spots than hearing about them. Do you remember?
Yes,
remember
I do. And I'm learning. Yeah. I'm learning and growing every day. And I'm I'm pulling up my girl pants. It's fine. I can deal with it.
Look, please leave us a review if you can, if you've got time. And let's stop taking up more time now because we've got to get back to this fabulous episode of Over the Influence with the lovely Grace.
So let's go back. We've talked about what happened on your day 365, which was a positive pregnancy test, which is just the best. Talk us through those 12 months. What was that time like from putting down that pint on the 10th of July 2022, you know, up until a year later? What was that time like and the transition? Because it's not easy, is it? It's just not easy.
Absolutely not. Initially, I was miserable. Well, I was never stopping. I thought, you know, I've just got to, just for a couple of weeks, I'm just not going to drink. But something, and I've done that before, but something was different. Something was different about that time. And I thought, right, I'm going to flood myself with alcohol free. You know, I found every Instagram account I could find that was so that my newsfeed was just flooded with it and I could just see it. You know, and I found your podcast and I read a couple of books. And I think when you start realizing you're not on your own and other people are doing it and you hear positive stories and even the not, you know, the negative stories that make you think you're not the only one that's been where you were, because you think, oh God, I'm the only one. Why can't I drink normally like everybody else, you know? And I think that kind of spurred me on, like the stories and the podcasts and the books. And, you know, the first few weeks were pretty awful and I was, you know, drowning myself in dairy milk instead of Foster's, but you know, you get past that eventually. And then I got into the gym and I was so confined to this little old locals pub I'd drunk in for all that time that you kind of forget anything outside of it exists. And when you start finding it, it's just amazing. The whole world that you've kind of forgotten exists.
Or that you've never seen. But, you know, like, to me, it was...
Or that you would have taken the piss out of.
Well, it's so true. Like, I do yoga on Sundays now.
Here we go, Grace.
Hot yoga on a Sunday. Namaste, everyone. But, you know, that's actually... I love it. Like, it makes me feel really, really good.
Yeah.
But I would have... Yeah, absolutely. I wouldn't have gone, first of all, because I'd have been hungover from the night before. It's a Sunday morning. I do hot yoga, so I wouldn't have gone. But then I would have also actively taken the piss if one of my mates had gone, oh, I'm not coming out tonight because I'm going to yoga in the morning. I'd have been that guy going, like, oh, come on, what do you mean you're going to yoga? Go to the pub? You know, that would have been me, you know?
Yeah, and me. Exactly the same. And you're so Who would have thought there are people that do yoga on a Sunday morning?
And enjoy it.
Or people that do anything other than lie in bed hating themselves the night before, because I just thought, well, that's what everybody's doing, surely. And then, yeah, and I'm up and in the gym 7:30 and even now I'm still going.
Okay, right. Well, then you need to stop that immediately, Grace, because every new parent has exactly the same piece of advice. It's not like, you know, oh yeah, go, why don't you fly out to have one final holiday, just the two of you in some glamorous location. The advice that all new parents give to people who are about to become new parents is just have a bloody lie-in. Like, stay in bed.
Yeah. just sleep. Stay
Don't
in bed.
Get up. Just stay in bed. I can't remember the last time I slept past 8 o'clock. And that's, you know, eight, that's really good when I sleep till 8. It's fabulous. What a dream. 8 o'clock on a Sunday. Oh, I'm in bed at 8 o'clock on a Sunday. I'm just lying, Grace. Please, for me.
I'm trying.
Desperate, doesn't he? Really
just email us again and tell us all about it.
I can't. I'm up. I can't, you know, and that's something else that's changed about me. I'm up and out and I want to, you know, there's so much to do. There's so much, and there's so much time when you stop drinking. There is
it's glorious.
So much time. Sometimes I get to lunchtime, I think, why can't it be? It must be 4 o'clock by now, but it's not, because you're up and you're, you know, there is time, and it's something that sounds so simple, but you just, yeah, it's crazy.
Do you think you're going to approach parenthood differently as an alcohol-free person? Now, let's say, you know, 2019, you'd started trying, and then a month later, you get that cheapo pregnancy test, then you go get the expensive one just to double check. You know, like, do you think you'll approach parenthood differently now?
Absolutely. I think I'm, in general, so much calmer. And like I said, so much more able to deal with things, you know, and there are going to be a lot of things to deal with as a parent. But yeah, I think my approach will be different because I'm calmer. I'm more grounded. I won't be pissed off that I haven't been able to have a drink for 9 months, whereas I think probably I would have been before. You know, I'd have thought, oh, this is brilliant. I'm pregnant. But what? Oh, my God, I'm not going to be able to drink for 9 months. This is outrageous. How am I ever going to manage? You know, whereas it doesn't even cross my mind now. And yeah, I just think I'm a lot more grounded, and yeah, I think it will be a lot different than it would have been if it had happened when I was a drinker, because you're always on edge, aren't you? You're always, you know, I probably would have been waiting for bedtime so I could, you know, get a beer out the fridge, or, you know, it's kind of, it's always in your mind, and it becomes more important than everything else. And I don't know what I would have been like as a drinker, as a parent, but I think that would have been quite important to me, still having that drink every evening. And
yeah,
I don't have to worry about it, because yeah, it's not like, I'm just not interested. No, nothing. You couldn't pay me to, no interest at all. So yeah, very different to how it would have been a few years ago.
It's really interesting what you said there, that you couldn't pay me. Ben said the same in the intro to the podcast. Yeah, you literally couldn't pay me to drink. I've said it now. No interest in going back. And then when we do sort of revisit it, you know, Grace, when you shared that you spent a lot of time in your local boozer there at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, last one to come out, nothing happens in there. Now it happens in there, boy. You just get more and more drunk, more and more miserable, fall into bed, cycle of shame, hate myself, start again. And as you've demonstrated and shared and talked about, you know, remove alcohol, and it lifts the lid on your world. Everything starts to become a little bit brighter and a little bit bigger. And you make new friends and you do new things. You go to hot flipping yoga on a Sunday morning. I will never not shred Ben for doing that. But I think it's, joking apart, I think it's brilliant. I got involved in amateur dramatics a couple of years ago. I wouldn't have touched that with a punch.
Amateur dramatics. It was said quite dramatically. Was he trying to get your chops around it?
I can't get my teeth around it, that's why. And it was the best thing ever. And again, meeting people and doing different things. But going right back to what you said a while ago, Grace, you gave yourself a chance, and it's that 100 days, isn't it? It's not even thinking I'm going to stop for a year. It's not even thinking that I'm going to remove alcohol for the rest of my life. Actually, you start to enjoy life that much without it. You make the decision yourself when you're a little bit further down the line.
Yeah. Yeah, and it becomes like the living, that I felt so alive, I think. And that becomes addictive. And the longer it goes on, the more I thought, why would I ruin this now? Like, what? Why? I'm going to walk back in that pub and the same people will be sat in the same seats having the same conversation. And I'm here, you know. And even now, I will sit in the gym on a, you know, a Sunday morning. I thought to myself a couple of weeks ago, I looked around and I thought, you know, who knew? Who knew that I'd be
all these people?
All these people do this, and they're not. What do you mean they're not all in bed hungover? But it's, yeah, it's like there was a. I don't know. I was ignoring the world, and now, you know, I stopped drinking in the July. I walked up Snowdon in the October of 22 because, you know, why not? And you can do those things and plan them. And not only can you plan them, you can plan them and actually turn up, because, you know, it's not a drunk plan that you make sat around a table in a pub and you never turn up to. You make plans and you achieve things, and it's, yeah, it's just great.
What does your husband think about it all?
Yeah, I mean, I was a nightmare to be, you know, I was the bigger drinker, so I was always a nightmare. So relief, probably. everyone around me, I think, is proud of me, you know, because I was, people still drink around me, but yeah, it's hard to, I don't know.
The reason I ask is because, you know, it's one of those things where sometimes in relationships, partners can, if they're still drinking, can feel like they've lost their drinking buddy almost. And it kind of, and we always say this, you know, you don't change by removing alcohol. It's more of a kind of a rediscovery. That's your thing, isn't it, Shaz? You don't change as a person. You just kind of rediscover who you were under the fog of all the.
You're there. You're under there.
Yeah.
I was always the bigger drinker. So it caused, you know, I don't think we were ever drinking buddies. I think it was more of a problem. You know, we may go out together, but after a couple of hours, I'd be out still. And then I'd be out for hours and hours later and, you know, come home, not remember coming home or not even make it home. And, you know, I don't have the off button. I absolutely, you know, I don't have it. So, yeah, it was definitely more of a problem for my relationship than it was anything else, because I was just a nightmare, really. Mm. And that was more important to me than anything else and anyone else, which is a crazy thing to think now, but it was true. It was so true for such a long time, you know, and the booze would just, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It just gets you, doesn't it? And
yeah, it does. It creeps up and it bites you on the arse. Yeah. I think. And then you're like, where did that happen?
Yeah. When did this thing become, you know, start ruining decent relationships? And, you know, and that's what happened, really. It did, you know, I came very close to losing some quite, you know, several people that now are the closest people to me. But
and now look where you are. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know.
Is your fella excited about becoming a dad?
Yeah, I mean, the shock. Yeah, but I don't know. I'm not still shocked, obviously, but yeah, obviously really excited.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just...
Is he doing that thing where he kind of like, you know, how are you feeling about it? Well, yeah, fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm excited. Everything is fine. Thinking, oh, my God. What do you mean? We haven't ordered what? I've never even heard of one of those things before. I don't even know what that means.
And everyone's selling you need all these things. Yeah. And I'm like, oh,
and you know what? And you go, bollocks, do I? How can I need something that I've never even heard of? And then you start using it and you're like, oh my God, this is a lifesaver. I use this every day. Thank God for it.
Yeah. But I mean, the thing is I'm you can never be ready, I suppose, but I'm quite organised with it. You know, I've got the hospital bag packed and, you know, and where, I don't know, that organised person came from stopping drinking, because I could never have been organised about anything before.
Yeah. You just sort of, you get stuff done.
Yeah.
Even the little things. you know, the appointments or buying something or whatever, you just get shit done.
Yeah.
That in the past, it was just not important.
I still need...
Well, mostly,
no,
Ben.
No, I was just thinking, actually, like earlier on, I've had to return something to an online... I bought something online and I've had to return it. And it's not like the normal... I've been putting it off for weeks. And I just went to Gem and went, Gem, I can't. I need your help.
Useless, man. Come on.
But a combination for me of removing alcohol and marrying Gem means that now little things get done. Yes.
You get stuff done. Yeah. Grace, what are your, and this sounds a bit of a cheesy question really, but your hopes and dreams for the future? Because what you've shared with us on this episode today, it's incredibly personal. And you could have said, no, get lost. I'm not coming on to talk to thousands of people across the globe about my very personal situation. But you did, and we're so glad that you did. And it's just wonderful. It's just absolutely wonderful. Looking ahead to the future, what do you hope for you and your family and your daughter that you'll be meeting very, very soon?
Oh, I know. I'm trying not to look too far ahead. I mean, her safe arrival is the first thing, you know. And I can't wait to meet her now. I'm so excited. I want to know what she looks like and I want to give her a cuddle and, you know, be in that little bubble for a while. And then, yeah, I just, God, I don't know. You know, I think that's going to be, I'm going to just be mum now and I'm going to enjoy it and I'm going to be present and I'm going to remember all of it and going to be able to do it with a, you know, a calm head on my shoulders because I'm not waiting to put a child to bed so I can go to the fridge and get a drink, which I think is what I would have been before. So, yeah. And with doing this in the short term, I just think I couldn't have done something like this 18 months ago. Absolutely would have been, no, actually, no way. And I thought, you know, if one person can in any small way relate to just anything I say, because that's what I grabbed onto at the beginning, you know, little things I could relate to. And I think if there's just one sentence I say that someone grabs onto and it gives them the inclination to keep going, then, you know, I'll be really pleased.
The word you keep using, Grace, is calm. And I think that's lovely. That's the reoccurring word. And
because that's how I feel, yeah.
But isn't it a lovely feeling? You know, who are we talking to, Shaz, about contentment?
I need to go back on the app and look at the episodes. I'll have a quick look.
Because remember, we had a conversation about how, actually, you know, we live in a society, and Grace, me and you, we talked about being same generation. We're brought up in this kind of, you know, you've got to strive. You've got to achieve. You've got to do this. You've got to do that. That's how you live life properly. And actually, being calm, being content. Like if the world strived, if everybody strived to be calm, instead of successful in inverted commas. Mm. If everyone strived to be calm, I think the world would be a happier place.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone would ever have described me as calm when I was a drinker. And I don't think I ever felt calm.
Yeah.
And it's still, you know, 18 months later, I sit with the feeling and I think I still can't believe I can cope with things and the way and how calm I do feel. So that's, you know, why I say it so much is because it still amazes me now. And it's still, you know, still every morning when I wake up, I think, oh, God, this is just great. It's just great. And it doesn't get boring at all.
It doesn't wear off. Honestly, no. Saturday mornings, I still go, oh, here we go again. The birds are singing.
Yeah.
We're washing on the line. And yeah, it doesn't wear off. No. Ben, FYI, the episode was with Austin Carr.
Of course
talking
it
about
was. Austin,
feeling
yeah.
content. Cracking
oh, he's
episode.
A lovely
go back
man.
And take a listen.
He was great, wasn't he?
Really
he was
good.
Very calm. Yeah. He had very similar energy to you, Grace, actually, Austin. If you've not listened to that episode, I'd highly recommend it, Grace. Although you've binged David the Influencer.
Grace will have listened. She'll have listened.
Yeah, great.
I have listened to every single one, yeah.
That's amazing. I'm so pleased and was so chuffed that you got in touch. Genuinely, it touched us. It really did. And it's wonderful to finally meet to you and chat to you. And thank you for speaking to us at 33 weeks pregnant.
Send us a photo,
Grace, please,
you?
Will you keep in touch? Yeah, we want a photo. I mean, we want names.
Friends and family first. We're fine to be a bit further down the list.
Well, we can number two on the list. Yeah. Number two on the list.
You're like the friends and family I've never met or spoken to until today.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mad. It's absolutely mad. We're so glad you got in touch. It's a wonderful wonderful story of positivity and I think hope at the end of the day, and it will touch somebody that is listening. We absolutely know it will. Grace, we wish you all the luck in the world. We can't wait to see a photo of your little daughter due on the 15th of March. Keep us posted, and thank you so much for sharing your amazing story and Over the Influence.
Oh, I will. Thank you. Thanks for having me.